Svetlana.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. We want to honor this morning all of the men that have born children in this world of their own, and also to honor those that have invested in someone else's life and have become a father figure, a major mentor into someone's life. Happy Father's Day. You deserve that. We would love to see our guests stay with us this after service and join us at the picnic. We're going to continue to celebrate all of our fathers and want to hear stories that you're going to share with us there. I know that if I had done a survey before this morning's sermon that I have entitled, Like Father, Like Son, you could have told me all kinds of interesting stories about your son or your daughter's lives, or those that you mentor as sons and daughters. And I know that on a day like today, we like to talk about the good things, the glory of the fatherhood. But I know also, if I have let some of you share, they would tell me that most of your days as a father are devoid of glory, and they actually are stress-filled, irritating, downright annoying days where you're trying to cram something in your kid's life, and they just don't get it. And by the way, I was tempted by the idea of doing exactly that and to have our own YouTube video, but I thought, maybe I'll find one that summarizes most of your experiences and we'll put it up here and we're going to watch it together so we can really find out what fatherhood is all about.
Hey kids, Mom needs more help inside.
Hey, how many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Sleeping for 2 days, Daddy.
Goodbye, Mr. Clams.
No! All right, just slow down a little
bit. Stop yelling at me!
I don't think that's... Okay. All right, and that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees.
on the phone.
Yeah. I am so proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow!
Have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful inside and out.
Whatever. Dad, you are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
This right here goes to your future, this right here goes to you, and this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
You just replied.
Dad, I can't believe you!
Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you. One, two, three! Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job, getting to make clouds all day.
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
Was that a good summary of your experiences? All right. I love the ending of this YouTube video. One of the coolest jobs that God has is creating you. So this morning, as we honor our earthly fathers, I want to bring a message that honors and gifts back to our Heavenly Father. So we're on for a ride. I know I'm going to be talking about fathers and fathers' dreams and purposes and like father, like son. But I want to let you know that I'm talking to both genders and there are no exclusions. And this morning's message applies to all of us. So I'll take you on for a ride with me to talk about God's coolest job, creating you. And what you and I can do in return. For God has it all. He created it all. It is totally at his fingertips. He has lack of nothing yet. In his unlimited abilities, he has limited himself to you. As his canvas of artwork. And he has begun to paint a beautiful life story of you that exemplify the purposes that he has created you to accomplish in your lifetime. For as God has the coolest job on earth, He has fashioned you at the very beginning, as you were shaped and formed in the womb, as David in Psalm 139 talks about. God dreamed beautiful dreams over you and me, setting aside good works for us to do that exemplify the unique ability that God has to create a private, personal design tailored to who you are in its beauty, in its full exemplary of putting the image of God on display, like only you can do, like only I can display. And in his masterful work, and in his uniqueness of fashioning every human being in its own right to co-create futures with him, he did not become limited by how much you cannot accomplish. But he became free to express himself for what only you can accomplish on this earth. He has placed you strategically in 21st century, 2014, in the environment, in the family, in the workplace, in the marketplace, where you go day in and day out to accomplish his purposes for you in life. For you know what? As God fashioned you before you were ever born, as he thought, as he dreamed over you, he saw what you can bring as value to earth. For God created you in his own image. This is a very powerful concept if we can only grasp. Human limitation actually speaks about his infinite, unique design work. Only as we come as a corporate whole of humanity, we can even begin to wrap our understanding about the vastness of who God is. Not that you and I would ever grasp who God, the unlimited, the uncreated being is, but it is as we come together in a corporate body that has begun to transform into the image of him, then we can begin to display as a corporate unity, as a community, and as a transformed community, who God is. So I get very excited when we talk on that subject. And I thought that this morning we can begin to look a little bit closer as a continuation of our series on from desperation to restoration. And the last piece that we talked about when I was here, do you remember what that was called? Fill in the blank. Do you remember that? Okay, so as a continuation of fill in the blank message, we're going to go and look into what are we going to fill in the blank with? What has God called us to do, and what can we do for our Heavenly Father? Since he's unlimited, he has need of nothing. Can we contribute something? Can we bring something back to him? It's interesting that as much as God is not limited, he has willingly limited his activity on earth to a partnership with human beings. That just blows totally my mind away. Because if you're reading the Bible from beginning to end. And it's a collection of 66 books that has been written for thousands of years by people that were inspired through the Holy Spirit to pen down thoughts, commands, dreams that God has for humanity. So as we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, one theme jumps right off the pages. And this is God always works in partnership with a human being. He never just comes in and does things without partnering with you and me. And somehow, he had to display that in a very visual way. And he sent Jesus Christ, his son, that came and said this about himself. What you hear me say, what you see me do, is nothing of my own doing. Everything that I say, everything that I display before you, all the activities I get involved while I'm here on earth, I do it because I have come to do the will of my Father who sent me from heaven to earth. And so my message today, I entitled, Like Father, Like Son. We say we aspire to follow Jesus Christ and to do as he did. And if that is what we are doing, to do what Jesus did while he walked here, this earth, while he interacted with human beings and talked, was one of us, then we also must be our Father's business, and we also must say, Father, what I can gift back to you on Father's Day is I want to give you my will in submission to yours, and I want to do the good deeds that you have purposed for me to do from beginning of times. And when we talk about those things, sometimes they get so abstract and they're out there, totally out there. And sometimes they sound like an inspirational talk, but by the time we leave this room here and we totally forget them and we have no clue how to put a handle on it and what does that mean in real life. And I know when we talked about God, who's unlimited, beautiful spirit being that we cannot even begin to fathom to the extent of who he is and what he does. I know that he has left us very practical implications of his creation purposes for us. For example, in Philippians 2:13, Apostle Paul talks about one of those handles that I want to put on this grand abstract idea that God actually has unique purposes for all of us, and he created us to fit within his magnificent universal design. This is how Paul puts it, very much back to earth, tied to the road. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This is one of the scriptures that I love dearly, and I go often to it. Because when I walk life and I have to do all kinds of things that either my family expects of me to do, my relatives, my friends, or my job, everybody has some sort of expectations towards me and they throw all kinds of purposes at me. And I have to do them. And by the way, sometimes we develop skills and tools to accomplish all kinds of things that we have no stirring within us. But we do them just because life demands that we do those things. And trust me, I find myself often in those situations and I get overwhelmed with the responsibilities that I have to fulfill. So I go often to the scripture and I look into it. And this is my barometer to figure out what has God uniquely designed for me to accomplish and is truly asking me to do, for which I one day would be accountable to Him. Because a lot of times all kinds of demands are thrown at us and we're accountable to our spouses, our kids, our friends, all kinds of expectations, our bosses, our subordinates at work. We're accountable to all kinds of people. But honestly, God cares very little about that portion of life, although you have to balance it within the scripture we're reading today. He truly cares how we balance this with His purposes for our lives. So Paul says, "For it is God who works in you to will." For it is God who works in you to will. And so I've looked much into that word and then did some studies on that. And it means simply, for God is working in me, His Spirit is stirring my heart with a deep desire about something. There is something that is being stirred at a supreme level that your boss's chart that you have to fill in doesn't necessarily bring that level of desire and stirring in you. Or your husband demand for, hey, we need to have dinner and it needs to be cooked fast and it needs to be now, doesn't really bring that deep stirring in you. Or the kid that says, Mom, did you remember? I need my uniform done, you know, and it's like 12 o'clock at night and he just remembered that his clothes need to be washed by tomorrow morning. Those things don't usually bring a deep stirring in our hearts. They're things we need to balance and we deal with and we decide what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. But one day, when we meet our Heavenly Father, He will want to know what we have done with the things that He has stirred our heart with. Those deep-seated desires that only the Holy Spirit puts there. And they begin to surface. And wherever you go, if you're an artist, for example, wherever you go, you would be noticing colors. You'll be noticing that some people's sitting in bright yellows and some in bright reds and some in bright blues. And color would be something that draws you and draws your eye. And you're going to really enjoy that part. And if you're an artist, you're going to walk outside and you're going to notice the beautiful blossoms of trees, the cherry blossoms, and then the roses that are coming. And you're going to begin to smell the fragrance. And you would really yearn to put it maybe on a canvas. Or to somehow fashion it into something that's going to resemble what you're looking at. That's because there is a deep stirring within you to be expressed. And only you can get to that unique thing that you can do. And you can contribute to the flourishing of the community that you live in. And you're going to say, so what's that have to do with spiritual stuff? If I'm a painter, if I'm an architect, if I'm an engineer, if I'm a barista that makes a wonderful cup of coffee, what on earth does that have to do with my spirit? It has everything to do with your spirit and everything to do with someone else's spirit. Because regardless of where you are in life, as you walk according to the deep stirrings that God has placed in your soul, the expression, the unique expression of who you are, you're unrepeatable. There is no other you on this planet, neither from its beginning nor until its end. You're it. You are truly a gift of God to all humanity. And I don't care what life has thrown at you, and what you have done from opportunities or limitations in your life. The moment you come to your senses, just like the story of the prodigal son, He had a father who cared about him, gave him much inheritance. He went and he squandered it, and he didn't amount to anything at that point in life. But as he came to his senses and he remembered the purposes that his father had for him, the beautiful setting of his father's home, he went back to his father. And his father restored him. And everything that he had squandered, his father gave back to him. And at that point, he placed him on a platform to influence many others. And actually, his life story influences you right now. His example brings hope to you this morning that whatever your past may have brought to you, your future with God, partnering with Him and His purposes for you, will always be successful, will always bring flourishing to this community, to humankind, to bring God's purposes to earth. So is you asking? Well, making a good cup of coffee and selling it to a customer, how does that apply to my spiritual makeup? Or what stride am I making in my spiritual future? The answer is, you're putting God on display right there by blessing someone else with the gift you possess, by becoming the best barista that you can be, by truly offering a coffee that nobody else can do, or painting the picture that's going to bless many generations down the road, and they're going to get that stirring in their soul and would say, there is creativity in this world, therefore there must be a creator that transforms human existence. So whatever your gift in life is, God has purposed specific good works, as Scripture says, for you to do. And they uniquely tailored to you. Nobody else can do what you can do. Nobody else is called to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. So I often go to this Scripture to see what the stirrings in my life are. What is God putting me to go? And when I figure what my heart truly, deeply desires, at that point, it's up to me to put it in action. But look at what the Scripture says. For it is God who works in you. It is God, trust Him, who works in you to do what? To will, to deeply desire about those things that only you can do, that are uniquely fashioned to your makeup, for He fashioned you when He was watching over you at your creation. To will and then to act in order to fulfill His good purposes. So my encouragement this morning is that we consider gifting God this morning a heart willing to look deep inside to find out what are the stirrings of God in our life. What are we drawn to do that are uniquely tailored dreams to us, and to begin to act according to those dreams that God has begun to seed into our souls. We talked about filling the blank. And this morning I'm going to be asking, how are you going to be filling in your blank? We talked about that filling the blank is really the dash between your date of birth and the date you're going to depart this earth. And that blank needs to be filled by you in partnership with God in accomplishing his purposes. When I preached about that a couple, 3 weeks ago, I saw quite a few that came to pray at the altar. Some of you had really moved towards that, seeking after the things of God that are unique and special in your life. But I ask you to do something that is not unfamiliar to me. For years, I have lived my life intentionally, looking to see what are the things that God is stirring in my heart to do. And by the way, that's not an easy journey. Because as my husband and I have looked as a married couple to see and identify the things that God has fashioned us and united us together to do, following those stirrings and God's purposes for us in life meant we moved from a communist country to a free country. And then as we landed in St. Louis, then we had to move from there to Dallas, from Dallas to Maryland, all in pursuing God's purposes for our lives. Because God dreams over us. And in Psalm 139, if you remember from fill in the blank sermon, we talked about catching the thoughts of God and filling our lives with them. And so while we were in St. Louis 12 years ago, and I was a landscape architect, being really happy, owning 4 businesses, you know, we had 4 small businesses, we did startups, and so we really minded our own business, okay? I wasn't expecting that God needs to speak more purposes in our lives because we thought that we finally have a handle on that thing doing God's work on earth. We looked at our businesses to do them as missions. So we prayed over customers. We gave them Bibles at the very end as a thank you gift. And we've seen lives really touched. We have truly put God on display for many years doing that. Yet, 12 years ago, God began to stir my life that there is a new season coming. And there is a new ministry that he is calling me to enter unto him. So for a snippet of time, I'm going to talk this morning to you about the dream that God has for me. The purposes of God that he has begun to stir in my life. And God is funny like that. You know, when he begins the stirring, and if we're not fast enough to follow, he intensifies that stirring to the point where we call it unquenching fire in my bones. I wonder where we heard that phrase. Truly, about 12 years ago, there was unquenching fire in my bones. I had to get it. What are you calling me, God, to do? I thought I'm in ministry. I thought I'm doing all of my business as ministry to you. What is that thing that I felt so intensely that you're calling me to do that I haven't tapped into yet? So one day, I just couldn't take it any longer. And again, God's funny like that. He won't answer, he won't answer, he won't tell you, he won't tell you, he won't tell you until you're so determined that you have to know. You need to get an answer from him. Lukewarmness doesn't really cut with God, especially when he is revealing his purposes that you need to step into to actually act upon. So one day, after 5 hours of relentlessly asking one question, God, I cannot quench the fire in my bones. What are you calling me to do? God, what are you calling me to do? I know it's more than what I'm engaged at this point. 5 hours. It might sound funny to some of you. It might sound totally unrealistic. I have come to a point that day where I wasn't willing to take one more step into my future without creating future with God. For God has shaped and formed us and placed us here on earth to co-create futures with Him. To co-create the futures that He dreams over us, us catching His dream, His thoughts for us. And then He places us to create those futures in partnership with Him. So after calling on His name for 5 hours, He gave me a literal vision of a very interesting faith community that at a first glance doesn't look like a church. Really was taken aback. It was a faith community that integrated entrepreneurial education, small business, and a church, all wrapped into one, and was placed in a very visible setting in the marketplace where people that don't go to church, that don't call themselves Christians, would actually see it, would stumble upon it, would come during the week to use the services of the entrepreneurial training or the small businesses that are going to be developed from that incubation center, and would appropriate services, goods that we would offer as just anybody else in the marketplace. And then, in the center of that vision, I saw the church, the faith community, that truly supported that integrated venture of commerce, education, and faith, all rolled into one location. Wow. That was 12 years ago. We, my husband and I, have looked at that vision for quite a while. First, we were quite scared because God showed me what He was calling me to do. I argued much with God. I'm not going to go there today. I'm now over those things. The very things that I really objected to God for calling me to do this particular grand vision are turning actually now I'm seeing 12 years later, to be my best attributes. But I thought that there was no way that I can even begin to walk towards the vision because, let me tell you, God, who I am, where You brought me from, how I speak, how unprepared I am to touch the areas that You are calling me to influence. Yet in my journey, I have learned that all collective experiences that I have gone through life, God is using to shape and mold me and to fashion me to be a missional instrument for Him, for His purposes. So the dream that God has given in my heart to accomplish His purposes is to see a transformational community development in cities. And I want to qualify what that means. A transformational community development is really a Holy Spirit-empowered process through which people and cultures, not just individuals, but entire cultures, can experience physical, emotional, social, and spiritual change. So that means that a church truly can lift the community both economically, socially, and also spiritually. An integrated type of church, like the one I just described, can add small business to the commerce of the city. It can offer educational capabilities to both kids and adults to teach them how to think creatively, entrepreneurially. So the well-being of that community would prosper. So that community can flourish if we can all begin to step more into the image of the creative God that we serve. And a church like that can truly influence the spiritual quest of many in the community by providing environments for spiritual transformation, both through its faith community and through its worship services. This dream that God has given me has taken me through different locations, through much education that I have pursued in order to begin to see the unfolding, getting close to a launching pad to see this dream come about. And I'm sharing it today within this segment of Like Father, Like Son sermon, to let you know that there is an urgency in my heart that God is bringing us close to the moment where we're going to see this dream begin to unfold. And to ask for your prayer support, to begin to pray with us for the Lord to unfold it the way He desires to see this come about. But I also have a second purpose for sharing my personal vision with you this morning. Because we truly are talking about like Father, like Son. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to model to us what a son to the Father of heaven looks like. He came and He did only the purposes that God the Father has already predestined for Him to do. And then Jesus Christ laid His life sacrificially for you and me, but at the same time in honor of His Father God. For God the Father is on a mission. He is on a reconciliation mission to see humanity being transformed. Come to know Him as the loving Father that can go in, change people's lives, can begin spiritually to lift people that are in desperation so they can be restored to the Father. And since God the Father is on a mission, God the Son, like Father, like Son, came to earth to join God the Father on His mission of reconciling humanity to Himself. And as we begin to transform and follow Jesus Christ in His example, so you and I are like Father, like Son. God has called all of us to be in the part of transformation business that He is in. God has called you and me with specific purposes tailored for your makeup, tailored to your gifts, tailored to your skills for you to accomplish. So God the Father would see human beings transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as individuals begin to transform, they will join transformed communities like you and me. In order, and this is the ultimate purpose of God the Father, that the transformed communities would transform cultures and begin to set godly societies. I'm not preaching that His kingdom will be revealed in full before He comes again. But I'm saying that God, from the very beginning, has purposed a people that He began to shape and form that brings a foretaste of His kingdom here on earth. And you and I are part of the foretaste of the kingdom on earth. And you and I all have individual, tailored to our unique personalities, purposes that God has designed for you. I already shared mine. So I want to ask you this morning, when we talk about like Father, like Son, you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the Son. You being the son and the daughter of the Almighty Creator of the universe, who actually have received blueprints from God the Father in your hand. Those are His purposes, unique purposes for you. If you would truly pay attention to the stirring that the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart this morning, that the Holy Spirit has been doing for a while in your life, you would want to capture the thoughts of God and begin to unroll the scroll that is specifically written for you. There are scrolls in the Bible that we read about Esther, about Joseph, about Daniel. And we are in awe that one with God becomes a majority of influence in the cultures where God has placed Joseph and Daniel and Esther. But I have news for you this morning. This house is full of Josephs and Daniels and Esthers. People that God is stirring with unique purposes that only you can accomplish. So as we are prayerfully beginning to consider what God is doing in our lives, I want to ask you, what is God's dream for you? What is your Heavenly Father's purpose for you? Can we all stand up? Is it really working? We have a prophetic word right now that we would like to share with you before I do the altar call.
This goes along a lot with what Pastor Svetlana was saying about partnershiping with the Lord. And this came forth this morning during worship, and we saw a drum with drumsticks, and there was a changing in the beat of the drum. And the word was, listen to the drum beat of the Lord. And there was a sense that some of us need to pick up the pace and others need to slow down. So if this speaks to your heart in any way, come forth and bring it to prayer with the Lord and see if there's an urgency, or maybe there's, you know, you need to pull back a little bit.
This morning, God is saying, listen to my drumbeat. Don't walk by your own drumbeat. My drumsticks are really controlled by my hands. And I am the one that launches seasons in life. Yet you are the one that need to respond to God's drawing into the futures that He is asking you to co-create with Him. So this morning, the altars are open to you. And I really would love to be able to offer our Heavenly Father on Father's Day a gift of a heart that is willing and ready to follow His purposes in life as we follow the stirring
and then act upon it. This is a pivotal time. When we make a choice, come on, people are already starting to come in. Open, the altars are open. Come on, come on. Come towards the front as an expression of your heart to be obedient to the stirring of God, for He has unique purposes that He has designed for you to step into. And I want to challenge you this morning. This is not a regular closing time where maybe you're just going to rush out the door without at least giving it a thought. God, am I walking the purposes that You have stirred my heart to accomplish for You? So I'm asking you right now, if God is stirring your heart, and even if you don't know what He's stirring you necessarily to do, but there is something in your heart that says, there is more that God is taking me to do. I need to tap into a new season of ministry to Him. I need to tap into co-creating the futures that God has for me to do on this earth. Then I'm inviting you to come forward. And I'm sure that we have some of those among us that haven't yet begun to walk with Christ yet. They don't know the Heavenly Father is a personal Father. You haven't experienced that transformation that I'm talking about. The forgiveness that flows because like Father, like Son, Jesus Christ came and died for you and made the path open for you. Now's the time. Now's the time to join us around the altars and pray that you would get to know God the Father as a personal Father. Those of you that either know and haven't taken a step yet towards going where God's taking you, or truly desires to know what God is purposing for you to do, I will be praying around the altars with you. For the rest of you, I will pray a prayer of dismissal, and please hang around with us. Come to the picnic to celebrate and honor our fathers. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we glorify Your holy name. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that stirs and works in us. We thank You that You have dreamed dreams over us. You have set purposes for all of us to accomplish, and they are as unique and as uplifting as every single individual is here today. And we thank You that You have not forgotten a single one of us, but You delight in all of us, and You so much delight in who we are that You have purposed, put aside, designed good deeds for us to do that would accomplish Your will on this earth. I'm praying right now for those that are about to leave this building, that Your Spirit would be with them, that You're going to uphold their hand, and whatever they touch this work week, that they're going to be successful because of You being in the midst of their lives. And I'm praying that this word that they heard this morning would continue to work in their hearts, so all of us would be assured and would follow the stirring of the Holy Spirit and become bold about acting upon Your stirring. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of that, and we invite the Holy Spirit to empower us for yet one more anointed, power-filled week, that we can truly get God in the community, God in all of life. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Your holy name. Amen. You're dismissed. Please walk out and kind of keep the conversations out there, because we have people still praying around the altars. You're welcome to join with the other ones that are praying here. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Father.